Monday, July 21st, Fantasy Football Today, the podcast. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. What do you have to say for yourself?
You're the worst movie critic I've ever met.
That's so not true.
I just think you're bad at choosing movies to see.
No, you're the worst movie critic I've ever met.
That's not true at all. Like, I have some excellent recommendations.
Give Let's me your hear five some. Best movie recommendations.
I've got a rainy day at home.
You're way, way back. Movies. Way back.
You're talking to your nephew, and you're telling him these are the five movies when you grow up.
He's two.
These are the five. He's older than two. He's got to be older.
He's almost three.
These are the five movies you have to see when you get older.
Okay, so. I'll tell him Frozen, Despicable Me. I'll just pick all the movies he likes. No, Braveheart, Predator. I'm going to make him like a man.
You're
gonna make him a man. Why? Come on, dude. I resent that. You know why? Because I don't even know what kind of music Jamie listens to. Do you?
No, I think he listens to the stuff that like a normal person, age 35.
Like, I'm like
to 40.
Like a rocker. I don't know. Jamie doesn't like anything that doesn't have Jesse Eisenberg.
First of all, I'm pretty sure genetics made him a man, not you.
I'm going to make
I
him
watch
a man.
Manly
You're
going to
find Hold on.
You if, make fun of me for liking cats and things like that, but I happen to be like a guy.
If you want to make him a man, then you're recommending the wrong movies.
That's the best statement you've ever said. Right, I'm going to make him a man.
This is all based on my not liking Gravity. The movie's so boring. I'm not going to recommend
it's
Gravity.
It's kind of based on you seeing The Internship on purpose.
Yeah, it was a terrible movie. I went with my friends. Do that or stay home. Injuries, news, and notes, emails. It's a mailbag Monday. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I did want to read something funny. I had to pull it up first. But anything to add before we get into the show? Fantasy party? Fantasy party.
August 23rd in Foxborough, Massachusetts. It's going to be a great time if you're in the Boston area, Rhode Island area. If you're feeling saucy and you live in New York or Philly or in the New England area, come see us August 23rd. It's free at the CBS Scene at Foxborough Stadium. We're going to have live drafts, mock drafts, all sorts of advice to help you win your leagues. We'll be there in person. You can come grab a soda and hang out with us.
Okay.
And like a million other fantasy nutheads out there.
And Wednesday?
This is closer. This is in the not-too-distant future. Wednesday, July 23rd, what are we calling it? The Fantasy Draft Kickoff Special?
I don't know. Adam only said it 45 times.
He should remember.
Do you remember?
No, I don't listen to what Adam
says. We'll call it the Fantasy Draft Kickoff Special, and if we're wrong, it's something else, but you get the idea. That's a long title. This is from when Adam and you and I, Jamie, went to Hooters and hung out with some Hooters ladies.
Right.
And had some grub and talked fantasy for, what do you think? Hey, hold on.
Mike, how long do you think it is? 90 minutes?
Oh, he can't hear you.
How long is this movie? About 90 minutes.
About 90 minutes. So 90 minutes of fantasy football talk. The Tears will debut on Wednesday. we will talk sleepers, breakouts, and busts on Wednesday. And it's going to be a good time. French fries were thrown. People were called names. I have an enormous head. Like literally, not figuratively, literally, and it's kind of weird to look at. but other than that, it's a great time, and you're going to get smarter getting ready for your fantasy draft.
All right, I think it's time to talk football here. The Akron Beacon Journal writer Nate Ulrich speculates Brian Hoyer will be the starting quarterback for the Browns.
What movies do you think he saw that made him a man?
Anything with Skeet Ulrich? Is that the guy's name? He's an actor.
Who
Scary
are
movie.
You?
Yeah. No, he's in Scream, not Scary Movie.
That's what you meant.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah. David Wilson said he's fully cleared, but right guard Chris Snee is retiring. We haven't really spoken about the Giants' offensive line, which I think still be kind of below average.
I agree.
Our listeners would think we covered every member of the Giants based on how much we talk about.
Yeah, but no, of all the talk about the running backs, I mean, that was a big problem last year was their line. And Jacksonville offensive coordinator Jed Fish said Toby Gerhardt will be the workhorse.
Yeah, we kind of knew that was coming.
So
I've got like a training camp note.
Yeah,
two
go for
training
it.
Camp notes, both from Bills camp, which had their first training camp practice on July 20th.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is that Sammy Watkins was unstoppable looking with EJ Manuel, caught everything that Manuel threw at him, psyched Stephon Gilmore out of his shoes.
Four for four.
Yeah, so it's not a ton, but for 11-on-11 drills. Watkins looked great. And Bryce Brown had, I think the quote from the MMQB.com was that he had rockets on his shoes and that he looked good.
And that's, literally rockets on his shoes.
Well, no, because then he'd probably get like blasted into Canada.
Right.
That's a figurative statement.
Well,
so I don't know if anybody's drafting Bryce Brown without Fred Jackson getting a boo-boo, but Sammy Watkins, there's going to be a zillion reports between now and the season about him looking good in camp in the preseason. I expect there to be some buzz on him.
Do you remember, because I honestly don't, do you remember what the buzz was like for Tavon Austin? You know,
it was Austin
year.
And DeAndre Hopkins. Both of them had, they look good in camp. They look good in the summer. They look good
preseason.
Right up until that first game.
Yeah. And I personally don't, I can't get too caught up in preseason reports. How do you guys approach it? It depends
who's reporting it. Like Peter King saying it's a little bit different than the Bills website saying it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bills website saying Sammy Watkins is awesome. While he might be awesome, but are they going to say that he looked terrible? You know, I mean, I'm sure they're fair and
they're also
biased,
saying CJ Spiller looks great.
Yeah, I mean,
EJ Manuel looks
that
like
time of
Johnny
year
Unitas.
When everybody looks great.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? So
Dan
it's
Carpenter
hard to
is the Hall of Fame kicker.
It is. There was a report. I know you didn't have it in your news and notes, but that the Titans will go running back by committee.
Yeah, no, I didn't include that just because I know we have a question about Bishop Sankey.
But it was interesting, and I think we talked about it on the podcast last week because it was right after I did the update, that the same writer, Jim Wyatt, who is the one that he's not reporting this by a source. He's just saying he expects the Titans to go running back by committee. He's also the one that did the fantasy projections for some of those Titans from last week, and he expects Sankey to have 1,200 total yards and 7 total touchdowns. If he has 1,200 total yards and 7 total touchdowns, you know who he is from a year ago?
Chris Johnson.
Zach Stacy, who's the number 17 fantasy running back who had 1,100 total yards and 8 touchdowns. So you do the math there, it comes out about the same. So,
yeah, but you want him to be better than that.
No, that's where we're projecting him, in that 15 to 20
range. Number 17?
Yes. I have him right now at 17.
Well, the thing about Stacy was on a per-game basis once he...
I'm just talking about total numbers. It kind of doesn't make much sense. Now, he does say in the report that Sankey will lead the Titans in carries and or production in carries. I don't know how he touches in production, however he phrased it. But there's some concern of now Dexter McCluster taking away work and obviously Sean Green in short yardage and goal line situations. I'm not backing away from Sankey. I did move Gerhardt ahead of him because I do think that the total work will favor Gerhardt. But Sankey, I think, is still a very safe number two pick.
Well, that's interesting. What do you think about Gerhardt guys going middle of the fourth round and Sankey going middle of the third?
I think, it's one of those situations where Gerhardt, Spiller, and Sankey are all interesting to me because of how good they could be. But I think there are limitations on the other two, whereas Gerhardt doesn't have them.
I got to see Sean Green, show up and do stuff. Isn't he banged up right now?
It's not necessarily Sean Green, though. It's that they could be, because their defense is so bad, throwing a lot, and McCluster could
be on the field,
a lot.
I don't know if that'll necessarily be the case. I think Sankey can still work on the field.
Oh, I like Sankey. I'm just saying. I think if you're talking about when you're nitpicking who's got a little bit more upside, for me it's Gerhardt, and that's taken me a while to come around on, and I know that. But I think he may actually lead the NFL in rushing attempts.
Oh, that's a good thing you said attempts, because I was about to have a heart attack. I'd rather have Gerhardt in 4 than Sankey in 3. But I bet by the time, a month from now, August 21st, they'll both be third-round picks in ADP, both of them.
All right, yeah. I mean, what I said earlier
was picks. I think that's more likely.
Was based on ADP, current ADP.
Or maybe they'll just flip-flop, and Gerhardt will go up into round 3,
and
Sankey will fall into round 4.
Again, when you start taking into our real leagues, because these are a lot of the mock draft leagues, not that they're incorrect, because I think the numbers are as accurate as I've seen for this time of year for our ADP, but PPR leagues are not being drafted right now. And so when you get the PPR drafts factored in there, the receivers get pushed up way higher than where they are right now.
Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. That's the letter I, fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. And please put football podcast in the subject line. And I do want to thank everybody for doing that. It's been very helpful. First email is from Eddie. Where's he from?
Louisville, Kentucky.
How and when can I get into one of your listener leagues? I've been trying real hard the last 2 years, but haven't been able to be a part of one.
I got something.
All right.
I don't know how many we choose from, but The first thing we should do is there was a very distinguishing thing. I'm not going to say what it was, but a very distinguishing thing over, I believe it was Dave's shoulder, almost the entire time during the Hooters draft.
See, now, when you say where it was, everyone's going to know what it is.
Well, I know. I think it moved around.
Do you? I don't think so. It's not like a butterfly.
It did.
What if we did this to make people watch more? If you can name the person who can name the most Hooters girls that I said their names on the air gets spots in the league, like three spots in the podcast league.
I don't know if I'm ready to give away podcast league spots yet.
No. This is the first thing that they have to do to get in. Like, we may get 20 of these, and then we pick from the 20.
Right. Like, I think that's a good idea. You qualify for it.
Yeah.
By sending in the names of the Hooters girls.
Yeah, okay. That's what it is.
So you qualify?
Whoever sends in the names of the four Hooters girls.
See, now why are you giving the number now? Everyone.
That's okay. I think they're sort of
spread. Are we sure we got everybody's name
in there? I'm
not
going to make people watch 90 minutes of video.
Yes, you are.
That's the point,
Adam. I mean, 60 would be fine. I don't know how long it's going
to. Oh, darn. They've got to go looking for Hooters girls while watching the video about fantasy football.
You understand that our audience
You're turning our audience into men, Adam.
I'm just saying that it's fine. Four names. Four Hooters names.
Okay. It has to be football.
At least four.
Well, what should the subject line be?
But there might only be four.
Football Hooters. Podcast Hooters. Whatever.
Football Podcast League?
Football Podcast League.
Why can't it just be Hooters?
No, because it's how we have to separate it when we filter it.
Can't you filter it by Hooters?
Yeah, Football Podcast League.
Football Podcast League, and then it has to be the four names of the Hooters girls spelled correctly. No.
Four names of the Hooters girls.
Right.
Is that it? There were only four?
There were more at the end, but I don't know if that made the...
Four Hooters girls names. So there you go. That'll start the process here, and that's airing... This week, fantasynews.cbsports.com, Wednesday. But if you don't see it live, all the videos are available on demand. And you have time to submit. Let's get to some real questions here.
No. I think we take the submissions from this week, and we pick one next week. So they have a week to pick the first person in the league.
All right. Fine. We'll do it. Okay. Monday.
No, so, give them
I nominate Jamie Eisenberg for
Wednesday,
Podcast League Commissioner.
I'm not sure we have a show Wednesday.
Thank you.
A podcast Wednesday?
All right, fine. So you have until middle of next week. Jeez. Right. Okay. From King George.
It's a good thing we think about these things.
I can't make one decision without. No, do this.
Well, no, he's the commissioner. He's in charge.
Congratulations. You just became the commissioner.
Good luck. That's going to be the worst run league that we ever had.
From King George.
Oh, I should also mention.
Stop.
The 2010 podcast league that we put together is still going strong in 2014. I think that's cool.
I'm annoyed. Hey there, Tyrion, Sandor, and Jorah. Who's Sandor?
Sandor.
The other two I know.
Emmanuel?
Sandor. I don't know.
Who would you rather have going into a redraft league to start your team? AJ Green and Dennis Pitta? Or Keenan Allen and Rob Gronkowski?
Ooh.
That's a great question.
That is a good question.
Green and Pitta or Keenan Allen and Rob Gronkowski?
I'll go AJ Green and Pitta.
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way too because it's. I don't think AJ Green bombs any time within the next like 8 years. I think he's the best player here. Gronk might have amazing numbers at tight end, but he also could be banged up three of the next 8 years if he lasts 8 years.
The player I'm worried about the most is Keenan Allen.
Gronk?
Of the four. No, because I'll gamble on Gronk.
What if it were Gronk and what if it were Keenan Allen and Graham, as opposed to Green and?
I'd feel the same way.
You still go Green and Pitta?
Mm-hmm. I don't know about that because I think Jimmy Graham a little bit.
Why?
Just because it seemed like he was very touchdown dependent last season. He had a ton of catches and a ton of yards. I think he's still going to be, heavily targeted main guy in San Diego. I don't have a big problem with him. I'm happy with him as my number two wide receiver. You're talking about getting a number one elite wide receiver. Long term and a starting tight end.
No, separate discussion.
Why are you talking about long term? It's redraft. You keep bringing up AJ Green's long term.
I thought it was a keeper league. So like maybe he's mapping out rounds three and four? Is that what you think?
No, he couldn't. You wouldn't take Pitt in round four.
Well, how's he going to get.
He's wrapping out round two and round six versus round
three
four
and
round
four.
Five. Or three and round five.
Whatever it is. I'm curious why you guys seem a little. Reluctant on Keenan Allen, who had over 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns.
I'm not reluctant so much on Keenan Allen. I just said he's the fourth player of this group for me. The reason I would take Green and Pitta is my faith in Dennis Pitta, is that I think Dennis Pitta strives or reaches that next tier of tight ends where he's the fourth guy, and I'm getting a top, arguably top two receiver in A.J. Green.
Now, just to focus on Keenan Allen a little bit more here, looking at his game log, last four games of the regular season, he had 2, 3, 5, and 2 catches. And last six games, because he had, okay, 3, 2, 3, sorry, last 5 games. 3, 2, 3, 5, and 2. Very low catches. A lot of touchdowns. 5 touchdowns in that stretch. They started to really run the ball then.
Yeah. Second half of the season, they were a running team.
So it's what kind of team are they going to be this year?
There's a lot of, I mean, again, you want to talk about what was their biggest offseason acquisition on their offense?
Donald Brown.
It was Donald Brown. It was only Donald Brown. I mean, they're counting on Malcolm Floyd coming back. They're counting on more from Ladarius Green. They're counting on Antonio Gates still being a significant contributor. But, I mean, Mike McCoy basically said to me at the owners' meetings, he has to now understand, in Keenan Allen, that everybody knows he's the number one guy. And so how does he go from unknown to elite? Because that's what these guys have to now do. He has to go from a very successful rookie season, where he was in the conversation for Rookie of the Year, to now becoming on the A.J. Green level. Now, he's not going to get to the A.J. Green level. I think he's going to always be around these type of numbers, which if he duplicates it, it's fantastic. But now the expectation, we all know where Keenan Allen was for fantasy owners last year. He was either drafted and dropped or picked up very late. Picked up middle of the season. And he was great. But now you're investing as early as a fourth-round pick in him with the expectation of 75 catches, 1,000 yards, and close to 10 touchdowns. I don't think that's realistic.
Joel in Sacramento, California says, "Dear Lucky, Dusty, and Ned." That's the most common one that we get, and somebody even wrote, "I don't think Adam's going to know that one." It's ridiculous, since I obviously have a great taste in movies. I know it's the Three Amigos. Joel says, "You guys rarely, if ever, mention strength of schedule. Is there a reason for that?"
Yeah, well, I think strength of schedule, if you go based off last year's, you're doing it wrong. Because a lot of things change in the NFL. I'll give you an example. The Chicago Bears last year were so-so against the pass and beyond awful, like undescribably awful against the run. If you judge that defense and that matchup and you just assume that in 2014 it's going to be just like 2013, you're going to be in for a rude awakening because they bulked up the D-line both through free agency and the draft. Their secondary got better too. Their pass rush is oodles better. I think the Bears are actually going to be one of the toughest teams to play against this season. The Patriots are the same thing. They've reloaded and they're getting some guys back that were hurt.
Yeah, well,
and they're
going
to be stronger. Denver did the same thing. And so you really have to pay attention to who moved where, and then you have an idea about which defenses are going to be better than last year, worse than last year. And if you put that together into, you know, some sort of magical formula and create a strength of schedule, then I would use that ahead of, well, last year, you know, this team's opposing records were, for 2014, were, you know, 500 or whatever. So they have a 500 schedule in 2014.
The only thing I look at is the first four games. After that, I could care less.
I think that's a smart way to
because,
do it.
Because, I mean, the Patriots are a great example. Think about what they lost after the season started. You know, you lose Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
You lose Mayo. You lose, what's the other tackle that they lost last year? I forget his name.
I don't know.
What are we talking about?
The defensive lineman besides Wilfork that they lost. Tommy Kelly. So take away those three things. That's their whole middle of their defense. You know, so injuries play a role. And so I think you can't necessarily focus your draft on this. It's nice to know that you're facing Dallas. That's similar to what Dave was talking about, comparatively to what they had last year, to what they've lost. The Titans. I mean, remember the whole beginning part of last year until the Denver game. How good was that Titans secondary?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
And then it fell off a cliff.
And it fell off a cliff because Peyton Manning exposed them a little bit, and they were finally challenged. And now they lose Werner.
Yeah.
So it's not the same.
And I think Buffalo's defense is in that same boat now, too.
Absolutely.
I think the Bills' defense is in big trouble.
And, last year, the Saints were this year's Cowboys going into the season.
Yes, fair point.
They turned things around quite a bit. It's a little unpredictable.
We will have a strength of schedule story on the site soon. And that was some awesome alliteration.
Yeah, it was. this is Ryan.
And I am a nerd.
Ryan in San Diego. Oh, don't worry. I was wearing a Lambda 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 shirt yesterday, so I think I'm the nerd.
I already know you're a nerd.
Ryan in San Diego says, quote, "Gone are the days of the every down back. Everyone's going to running back by committee. The league is so much more pass heavy. I hear these statements all the time. Are they really true? And if so, should we change our drafting strategies? Are there less points being scored by running backs, and are those points being more thinly distributed? Conversely, are wide receivers scoring more points?"
This is an excellent series of questions, and I wish that you had shown me these questions before we came on the air so that I'd be able to give some really good data to back up what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I apologize.
So, you stink. yeah,
now, running backs, if I had emailed them to you, would you have read them?
Especially, probably not.
No
but,
chance.
But then at least, like, I
you do get
then
these
I would
emails
have an
to
excuse.
You.
1 minute before.
No.
You get these emails.
We all get these emails.
You choose not to read them.
Yeah, you're right. But if I choose not to read them all because I don't know which ones are going to get asked on the podcast.
I understand. Go on.
Running backs did, on average, score less last year than they did in previous years. And receivers were, I think, a little bit better, but it was top heavy. Like, the elite guys did their thing, and then everybody from, like, I want to say, like, 25th best on down, very inconsistent, very scattered. 1 week it's, you know, one receiver for a team. The next week it's another receiver on the same team. So I think if you're not an elite receiver on an NFL roster, your performance is going to be kind of scattered throughout the course of a season. And I don't think it really makes that big of a difference when you go into your drafts. In a PPR league, I could see it making a big difference, Jamie, can't you? That the receivers, obviously more of a priority to get the big-time receivers, but I think it's smart to really aim for those big-time wideouts.
Yes, well, obviously. I mean, if you get as many of those guys as possible, your team's obviously going to be better. The thing I don't necessarily love about this question is I don't think it's a fair thing to say to every fantasy league. If you're in a league where you're just debating about your flex position, then comparing running backs to receivers makes sense. But or if you're in one of those leagues where we get this question all the time, I could start 5 offensive players. It could be 1 running back and 4 receivers, 2 running backs and 3 receivers. You get the opportunity to mix and match really what you're – it's basically like you start 1 running back, 1 receiver, and 3 flexes or 2 flexes, and that's kind of the way your starting lineup is. If everybody's starting 2 running backs, you're all looking at the same player pool. So comparing the days of running backs not being the same or teams going by committee, it's why we tell you go get those elite-level players early and go running back heavy early, because even though you may swing and miss because of an injury or something that happens that's unexpected, the chance of hitting on 2 of those guys, if that happens, your team's in much better shape.
I was wrong.
Okay.
I want to redo on this one because I went back and started. I wrote about this in January, and I just blanked on it because I thought that there was a big dip in running back average. Top 12 running backs last year averaged 13.4 fantasy points per game. That number was 13.3 in 2013.
Yeah, but I'm looking at, like, 2003 data.
Why?
Just to see the trends. Priest Holmes at 371 fantasy points that year. LaDainian Tomlinson at 344. Amon Green, 334. Jamal Lewis, 296. Like, we don't see those types of totals really so much anymore. Jamal Charles at 307 last year. So that would have made him, what, 4th that year? Yeah. By a wide margin. So it is obviously a more pass-happy league. All right, next up, Larry from San Diego. Shane Vereen and Toby Gerhart went right near each other in your draft last week. Please compare these two. Which has the higher ceiling and which is safer?
I think Gerhart is.
Safer?
Yeah.
Who's got the higher ceiling?
Gerhart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next up. Tim from Baltimore.
No analysis needed.
Jesse, Walt, and Saul. My league is drafting on... hold on. Back to Larry's question. What's the answer in a PPR league? Gerhard or Vereen?
I'll change it up. Yeah, Vereen.
All right, now, Tim from Baltimore. Hey, Jesse, Walton, Saul, my league is drafting on August 1st. We can't do any other day due to schedules. What are some pointers for drafting in early August?
This is where you could take the Adam Azer approach and go safe. Don't take injury risk, guys. That could get nicked up in training camp and preseason.
I have a suggestion for the commissioner of that league. Tack on a couple of rounds, and that way it gives everybody a couple extra roster spots where they can gamble with low-end guys and put them on their team, and that way, you know, if they make a great pick then, or if a guy gets hurt, then they draft the handcuff, then they're not as damaged. For example, let's just lay out a terrible nightmare situation where Jamal Charles gets hurt in the preseason. I'd like to offer the teams in that league an extra roster spot so that they can go and draft Nile Davis without
Why
worrying
about filling.
Why wouldn't
they draft Nile Davis, though?
They probably would anyway, but maybe they go and maybe they can back up all of their running backs.
That's the better scenario. It's that they're drafting, you know, all three running backs that they draft early,
sure.
They can get.
Or do they automatically get their handcuff?
No, I think you have to make it because if you are tacking on some rounds, then okay. You're doing it with the idea of everybody being entitled to take Sean Green whoever drives Sankey or C.J. Anderson or Ronnie Hillman.
Just so...
why are you doing John Cena?
Just so this doesn't get mislabeled, here, as you said, the Adam Azer strategy. I wouldn't go safer depending on when we were drafting.
No, you played safe no matter when you're drafting.
Like only with my first two picks, but no, I think early drafts...
No, you take no risks.
Early drafts right. are for when you... It's a good time for you to get your sleeper pick that's not going to already have that big training camp and everybody else
that's
knows
very
about
fair
it.
There's like there's Sammy a flip Watkins. Side to it. That's yeah. like it's a great call.
But then what do you do with somebody like Rob Gronkowski where there's question marks about his health?
If you draft him around 4 you're great. If you draft him around 2 you could be really upset about it.
Yeah, it's to see how risky you
yeah,
are.
So
next up, Mike from Santa Monica.
It's why, I mean, look, we face the same scrutiny. We do mock drafts now that people go back and find in 3 weeks and they say, oh my god, how yeah. did you take this guy there? Well, look at the date.
Mike in Santa Monica. I've been streaming DSDs for a few years now and got burned by this strategy pretty bad last year. So I'm really looking at Seattle and San Francisco DSDs. If fantasy is all about difference makers, aren't these two worth drafting before RB3s and wide receiver 4s? Basically, what tier of running back would you put these DSTs on and or what is the appropriate round to take them in a 12-team league?
I think you have to know your league. It's kind of hard for us to say. If your league traditionally takes defenses early, which a lot of our user leagues do because people like to fill out their starting lineup, then probably the third or fourth running back on your team or third or fourth wide receiver on your team does make more sense to take that because you know you'll be getting those players a round or two later anyway.
I don't like wasting a draft pick. What round are you thinking on that? The third or fourth running back. Is that like round 10?
It could be as early as round 8, depending on what your team
yeah,
looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I'm never drafting a DST.
I know you're not.
Round 9.
I know you're not, because you would rather take the Bears with your last round pick, assuming that they bounce back, or the Texans
sure.
or the Saints or whoever.
Because I know there's going to be a DST later on that I can feel okay about.
But I also understand, you know, where Mike's coming from, in that why not lock up the Seahawks and know that you have that potential for 16 games.
If I were going to do
that. That is the only DST I would do it with because they finish in the top 6 each of the last 3 seasons.
If I were going to do that, I think I would have to be looking at a draft board where I just didn't love anybody else. Like, I didn't feel good. Like, none of my sleepers fell to me, and I'm just like, you know what? I don't see any great value here. I'm going to take the Seahawks.
Yeah, Herc does it in every draft that we do because he doesn't like reaching for backups who aren't going to make a difference for him. And I understand it.
He also doesn't like the idea of going to the waiver wire each week and doing all the work that it takes. As
sure.
little work as it is.
I got no problem with
about
that,
finding a DST. I don't either if you end up in that situation.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Rusty. Where's Rusty from?
Sweet Home Chicago.
Perfect, because he says, hey guys, love the podcast. Dave's humor is right up my alley.
Yes.
I'm in multiple PPR keeper leagues where the roster is set up quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and then 3 flexes, which can be running back, wide receiver, or tight end.
So I was just saying.
What?
About the leagues where you're comparing running backs and receivers. This is the type of league.
It's PPR, though.
Yep.
In the past, I've always drafted the best available player with so much flexibility, but I'm wondering if it might be better to grab an elite quarterback and tight end early and draft running back, wide receiver from there on out. What are your thoughts? So, again, he only has to
define
start
early in a PPR, because I tend to find quarterbacks at even better values in a PPR draft than a standard draft. So I don't mind doing it with the tight end, but the quarterback I'd still wait on. Plus, you're going to get a really good quarterback either way.
Okay.
The trickier part of this is that he's in keeper leagues, so you don't know just what the talent pool is like in each of these leagues. So I don't know how many quarterbacks are being kept. Maybe he does have to reach for an elite quarterback.
I wanted to take a quick break to read our draft recap for the Hooters draft that we that we talked about on our last two podcasts. So I got a pretty scathing email from the fantasy journalist. So if you draft in a CBSSports.com league, you will get a draft recap that basically tells you how you did. So mine said, speaking of draft difficulty, you had it pretty rough as you ended up with less value available to you than all but two other teams. You had to watch as good value picks like Chris Johnson, Frank Gore, and the Seahawks DST were snatched right before it was your turn. Then it said, your best pickup of the draft was Steven Jackson, who we thought should have been selected around 48th.
And that's coming straight from our projections.
But you got him 55th. However, you mixed in some duds as well, the worst of whom was Jeremy Maclin, who delivered value closer to that of a pick taken 20 spots later. Which is very funny, since I thought Maclin was my best pick and Jackson was my worst. I am projected to finish last in that league. So it's kind of a fun – you shouldn't take it too seriously. But
there are people that take it way too seriously.
Nah, you shouldn't.
They think we write it.
No, but it's based on your projections.
Of course.
Yeah. It's funny because the baseball ones were based on Al's projections. So every draft we did, Al always won the write-up. It's like, team, Al Melchior came out great at this one. All right, here we go. Christopher, he says, we are Penn State. People are getting fired up for college football, this host included. Says, dear, hey, Neymar, Hulk, and Oscar. Let's see just how hip you guys are to the sports scene.
Soccer.
Yeah? What country?
Brazil.
Yeah, good job. Chris from State College asks, PPR league, quarterback, three running back, five wide receivers, two tight ends, and a flex. I'm a huge Shane Vereen fan, but is Vereen worth keeping with a fourth round pick in a PPR league?
100%.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, again, no details on the league. We don't know how many players they're allowed to keep. I don't love the fact. I assume he's got some wide receivers that he's keeping along with Vereen. But for a fourth-round pick in this deep of a league, I like it.
Phil in the Windy City. Oh, man.
What's the matter?
Oh, no, never mind.
Did you just spill milk all over yourself?
Dear Hulk, Kevin, and Scott. I don't know that.
I don't think those are Brazilian soccer
yeah,
players.
I was like, did I copy and paste the same greeting? Dear Hulk, Kevin, and Scott, 12-team, $200 auction keeper league. I'll be keeping Eddie Lacy at $19, but I could also keep Marshawn Lynch at $65. Now, hear me out, Jamie. $65 is obviously very high for Lynch out of $200, but nearly all the other RB1s and 2s are being kept. In this league, available top players, especially running backs, go for way more on draft day. So, should I keep Lynch at 65 or DeSean Jackson at 17 and or Michael Floyd at 7?
Please don't light $65 on fire and keep Michael Floyd for $7.
Yep.
You wouldn't keep Lynch for 65?
No, because let somebody else waste that money and go out and get the next Eddie Lacy for $19.
Yeah.
Could I make another suggestion? Worst comes to worst, do you think that if Marshawn Lynch is back into an auction where a lot of running backs are being kept and maybe not a lot of owners are trying to get running backs, that he'll go for 65 or more? Like, I know that Phil insinuated that he would, but I don't know if he would.
Or
if you had to get him back, maybe you get him back at, like, 58.
That's the better point, is that I think if he's saying everybody's keeping all these running backs for $65 – they don't have the money to spend on Marshawn Lynch to get him back for $65. So you may get him for $45, especially if you don't draft, like, who was it that's drafting in August 1st? Tim in Baltimore? If Tim in Baltimore is drafting August 1st, well, maybe Phil in the Windy City is drafting August 23rd from the CBS scene in Foxborough. And by that point...
Came all the way from Chicago to see us.
And
that's
by
nice.
That point, Marshawn Lynch has got a hamstring problem, or he's been holding out for 2 weeks, or he's, you know, pouting about something, and Chris and Michael continues to look awesome.
Next up is Billy from Atlanta. He says, go Jackets! 2, Matty Ice, Julio, and Roddy. Love the show and all the crazy stats you guys find, but I was looking to do some digging of my own. I was wondering if you could let the real in-depth guys like me... typo. Where can I find all the stats from last year, preferably week by week and downloadable to Excel?
CBSSports.com/fantasy news. Just click around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you go to our stats tab on fantasynews.cbsports.com or... Jamie's URL. It's really cool. You can see how defenses stacked up against running backs, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends.
And that stuff's updated during the season, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's really a useful tool. Yeah. So
a lot of great stats to help you.
Here is JC, a 38-year-old female from Farmdale, Ohio. She is new to the podcast scene and technology, for that matter. Okay. Started listening to a little over 20 different fantasy football podcasts, and now I'm down to three. Yours is one I keep. Well, thank you very much. I have two leagues. I have two questions. One, I have the first pick in a 10-team snake PPR league. Three receivers. Do I take Calvin or Graham, knowing that I probably won't get a top 7 to 10 wide receiver on the way back? What do you think?
I wouldn't do it, but I think if you really want to go that route, then go ahead.
No, you're not going to recommend that.
I mean, it sounds like that's the way JC's leaning.
Yeah, but you're going to say no. Take Jamal Charles.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I'm just saying, if you feel, I'm never going to tell people if you have an idea, don't do it.
Except the guy that you just told not to burn $56 on,
or $65.
$65
that's
on.
That's a lot of money. But he wasn't leaning that way. He had a question.
I don't know about that.
He was leaning that way. Okay. We wouldn't do it.
You're go being ahead. A gentleman.
Phil, go back. Go back and get the Marshawn Lynch.
No, don't say that.
You're supposed to tell people not to do dumb things.
You're supposed to tell people what you would do.
I wouldn't take Calvin Johnson or Jimmy Graham.
Here's what I would do, JC. Go up to the owner in that league that's got the fourth pick and say, how would you like to have Jamal Charles on your fantasy team? Because you can't have him without me giving you the number one overall pick. And trade draft for draft, slot for slot, move into the fourth slot.
No. Trade the first and the seventh
That's
round pick.
That's too complicated.
What?
What do you think? First and second?
Seventh.
So she gets an extra seventh round pick?
No, trade your first and your seventh, or your first and your eighth, and get back your fourth and
too complicated.
Fifth round
just
pick.
Trade draft slots and just go in. I like it because at four overall, you'll definitely get either Calvin Johnson, Jimmy Graham, or a stud running back. And then you pick early in round two. You'll probably get a great receiver then as well.
What's your top six in a PPR league?
Overall?
Yeah.
The top four running backs, with Peterson being the fourth. Excuse me.
And then with Calvin and Jimmy. Yep.
All right. The more and more I've thought about this, I just don't think I'm going to draft Calvin Johnson in the first round.
First round or first overall? Because I think
round.
I'm taking him first in the
round.
First round.
If I take him first round, I don't think he's much further ahead than Demaryius Thomas or, Dez or whoever. Like, I just don't think there's that much separation between Calvin Johnson and the rest of the elite wide receivers.
There might not be, but at least you're getting a receiver that you know has a really good chance of finishing in the top five.
Yeah, but I'd rather wait. Like, if I could wait literally 12 picks or
you'd
something.
Rather, I know what you're saying. You'd rather have
take
Eddie
Julio
Lacy.
Jones.
You'd rather have Eddie Lacy and Julio Jones than Calvin Johnson and Marshawn Lynch.
Absolutely.
I understand.
Here's Glenn in Nashville. Oh, no, wait. Second question from JC. Sorry, Glenn. Let's take 20 minutes on this one so we don't get to Glenn, just to tease him. What do you think?
You could have read the question by now.
I have the 9th pick in a 12-team snake non-PPR league. Two receivers. Do I go Foster and Green? Two running backs like Foster, Bell, and Bernard? Or Jimmy Graham and a wide receiver? All right, what do you think she should do? 9th pick. Standard scoring.
I'd probably go into it with an idea of getting a running back at 9 overall. But if Calvin or Jimmy slip to that spot, I have no problem taking one there and then going running back on the way back in round 2.
You can get Foster in round 2.
I don't think you can.
You can get Foster in round 2.
I don't think you can.
His average is
a 12-team.
9, obviously, but we talked about this last week.
No, but so wait, his average
draft
position.
First of all,
you're
assuming that JC wants Foster. I think she'd
average,
be just as happy with any good running back.
His ADP is 12, so I don't know that you can get it.
I thought you said it was 9 last week. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's the 9th highest.
Oh.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now it's the 7th highest. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at running backs. 7th highest running backs. Running back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's going 12th, and his ADP is 11th overall.
So he's right there in the swing.
Yep.
I don't think he'd make it back to 16th overall. Is that what it would be? That's what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's so if you really wanted Arian Foster, like I would take Foster at 9. I have no problem with that.
Generally speaking, you have the 9th pick in the draft. Your first two picks are going to be what?
At least one running back and a wide receiver slash Jimmy Graham. If not two running backs.
I'm probably looking two running backs, but it depends who's there.
All right. Glenn in Nashville. Dear Dizzy, Hampton, and Plucky. I feel like those are cartoons, right? Tiny Toons? I'll check it out. I have a keeper league where you keep three players up to 3 years for the same round drafted. I'm keeping Alf in the 11th, Jordan Cameron in the 12th. Should I keep Kristen Michael in the 13th or RG3 in the 6th? This is a league where quarterbacks are taken early and often. So Kristen Michael in the 13th round or RG3 in the 6th?
I agree with Jamie.
Kristen Michael?
Yeah.
I mean, the value is better. The value is better, but, you can
redraft RG3 in the 6th if you want.
Not in this league, apparently.
I think he might be able to get him, and if not him, then a Romo or a Luck or Cutler.
There's also a probability that some quarterbacks are kept. So, you know, the people who drafted whoever it may be, Nick Foles off waivers or...
What would you do, Jamie?
I'd keep Michael. I mean, but I'm typically bullish on Chris and Michael, so...
Right.
Tiny Toons, by the way.
Not only that, but can you keep Michael for two more years after this year at a 13th round price tag?
He says that.
Yeah. That's another reason to keep Michael ahead of RG3.
All right, Ken from Pittsburgh. Dear Axel, Billy, and John. What do you guys think?
Guns N' Roses?
That's what he wanted you to think.
What is it?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh. Ah.
Axel from Guns N' Roses doesn't have an E.
No.
AXL.
I was thinking of Curtis Axel, who plays fantasy football, by the way.
Who's that?
You don't know who former Intercontinental Champion Curtis Axel is? Third generation wrestling superstar? Winner of the WWE Fantasy Football League last year?
No, I didn't know that. How would you feel about going to a team running back position? How'd you feel about that?
I think your drafts would get a lot shorter.
Less challenging, too.
Yeah.
Would be the best one.
Eagles.
Yeah, I could see the Eagles being the best one. Detroit would be up there.
Yeah.
New England.
It'd be nice. Not, yeah, oh, yeah, that's a really good
one. You wouldn't have to worry about
Seattle.
Yeah, that'd be nice too. Now, if you go team run, no. Stupid question. If you go team running back, but you don't get quarterback rushing touchdowns.
No, I don't think
so. You wouldn't get that.
It would be just the hence the
in
term
the middle
running
of the question.
Back.
I thought
the Panthers.
Man, that's stupid. No, I was just thinking. I was thinking Seahawks, so.
Shannon, I wouldn't have much of a problem with the Chiefs either, you know.
Where's Shannon from?
I think she's from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, she?
It could be a she. It could be a he. You didn't say.
Should I read this in a girl voice?
You've been talking in a girl voice for 5 years. Why stop
I have
now?
No voice today, man. Could you defend your Bishop Sankey ranking for me? I'm seeing him go in high-stakes leagues in the early fifth normally, never before the fourth. Everything I've heard says it will be a split for the number of carries, and insiders say this was just a very poor rookie running back class. Wondering why I should take him two rounds ahead of a Gerhardt who doesn't have any competition at all. All right, we kind of addressed that. Jamie moved Gerhardt ahead of Sankey. How about you?
I still have Sankey ahead of Gerhardt.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, making the case for Gerhardt that I did, you know, a while ago. I just think that these rookie running backs, a lot of times they're better than we expect. They're fresh. He's going to be a better player than Sean Green. And, yeah, why not? I mean, look at how many year two running backs we're taking in the first and second round this year because they were so good last year. So why not Sankey, who was, correct me if I'm wrong, the first running back taken in the NFL draft, right?
He was.
Just like Le'Veon Bell was, and he ended up being really good. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily downgrading Sankey. I'm just upgrading Gerhardt.
No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just making the case separately for Sankey. But if I can take him in the fifth round, that'd be awesome. I don't know if that's going to be the case when...
Sankey?
Yeah.
He's going to have to really struggle for that to happen.
Yeah.
He's still good enough as a number two fantasy running back. There's no question about it, and that's what you're drafting him for. If you get it in round four, it's fine. If you get it in round five, it's a lot better.
I will say, though, just while we're talking rookie running back, so what makes more sense? Let's just say Sankey does fall to round four. By comparison, does Terrence West or even Jeremy Hill, two guys, I mean, we talked about Hill a little bit last week comparing him to Stephon Taylor, but these are two guys that are going to have the chance to score a bunch of touchdowns and get a decent amount of yards. Does it make sense to get those two guys in, let's say, round 8 and round 9, where West is falling right now? If you're just looking at rookies, you know, forget about the rest of the... What was that?
I was holding in a sneeze.
That was the funniest face I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping you wouldn't catch me.
I thought you were going to fart.
Nope. Held in a sneeze.
You know, I mean, those are two rookies that I like, you know, and Devontae Freeman as well. So, you know, does it make sense to, let's say, round three? Give me a receiver in round three that's there.
Antonio Brown?
Okay, perfect. If you go running back receiver Antonio Brown as opposed to running back receiver Sankey, and then knowing, like you did in the other draft and I did as well, you get to that round 6-7 range, and you just say, okay, here I go. Next 3-4 rounds, I'm taking my
rookie
favorite
running
back. No, not rookie, but just my favorite running
right.
backs. Which
but like West,
to be.
I think, would be very close to the top of the list for both of us.
Yeah, West, Freeman, and Hill would be the next three
7, 8, 9
target for sure. And I'd be very happy with those three guys because, look, I know we haven't really talked about Jeremy Hill a lot, but Green Ellis fell into good production last year.
Yeah.
Fantasy-wise. He wasn't anybody you were starting consistently because you knew you can get 15 carries for 30 yards and that would be his day.
That's the problem is you never know when to start these guys.
But I think Jeremy Hill, if you're talking about a run-heavy offense for Hugh Jackson and the Bengals, and he's going to get, let's say, anywhere from 10 to 15 touches, you know, most of that's going to be carries.
I think that's bullish.
Well, I think if Hugh Jackson has his way, they're
if
up
the
on
Bengals
teams.
Bengals have their way,
they're
sure.
up on teams. He's it's not going to be Giovanni killing the clock. It's going to be the bigger guy. And
I bet it'll be situational still.
He's going to work at the goal line. I wouldn't be surprised if Jeremy Hill falls into top 24 production.
You know, if Antonio Brown would just fall like a little bit lower, then I wouldn't want to take two wide receivers
early.
If I was picking, you know, ninth or later.
He's going after Jeffrey, right?
No, he's going just before Jeffrey. But, like, Antonio Brown is so good. If he would just fall to, like, the end of the third round, then I feel like I'd be fine with that. But I think you have to get him in the middle of the third round. Right now he's going 30th. 31st. Side note. Okay, last one. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chris from Ringe, New Hampshire. 10-team PPR league. I'm keeping Keenan Allen. And other first-round keepers not available to draft include Lacy, Ball, Bell, and Murray. So what is your preferred strategy drafting from the seventh spot, given those players are already off the board? No Lacy, no Ball, no Bell, no Murray.
I mean, you have a ton of players to choose from that are still awesome.
Yeah, 10
you still get a good running back there.
Or Calvin.
I don't know if I like that.
Or Graham.
I don't know if I like that, because if I take Calvin in round one, and we're assuming that he's not being kept. Hold on a second. Now, here's my question. Other first-round keepers not available to draft, does that mean that those teams don't have first-round picks? So maybe he's not really picking sevenths? Or is he saying those are guys with a first-round ADP?
I think those are guys in the first round
who are being kept.
So you have.
So there's going to be six full picks in front of him before he
But you know the first three are. I mean, it's going to go Charles,
I assume
McCoy,
so.
Forte. Peterson probably fourth.
Well, so, I don't know, because how many?
And so
yeah,
then,
how
so
many
then
of them
he's
were
looking
first
at
round picks last year. All but Forte.
So he's
right?
looking at like Foster.
No, he's saying that these guys that are potential
Lynch.
First round draft picks are not available.
No, what I'm saying is you don't know who the first few picks are going to be. They might already be kept.
I'd take a running.
No,
back
that's
there.
What I think he's saying is that they're not available to be drafted. That these
right, but I'm saying Charles, Forte, McCoy might already be kept as well.
No, that's what he's saying, that these guys are not available to draft, which means those other guys are.
No, I just think he means those other guys, he didn't even include them because he's not going to have a shot at getting them at seven. Or, all right, it doesn't matter.
I would assume based on his email that these four guys are already being kept.
Who? Lacy, Ball, Bell, and Murray?
Yes.
Yeah.
Along with
Keenan. And he mentioned them because those are the guys in the seventh overall neighborhood.
But yeah, but you're saying the first four picks are going to be those running backs. I'm
yes.
saying they might already also be kept.
Maybe.
Thinning the pool.
I guess so. I didn't read it that way.
I don't know how to read this.
Me either. It's a little vague, Chris.
Sorry, Chris.
But
I think you're going best player available.
Right. I mean, the running backs are pretty deep in a 10-team. Well, not deep, but much deeper in a 10-team league.
But if it's a position of need for you, I might take one in round one and then reevaluate what you do in round two.
I had fun today, guys.
I think you farted.
I didn't fart.
I'm going to make a man out of you, Adam.
I didn't fart and I didn't sneeze. You don't have to make a man out of me. I've already seen Predator and Braveheart.
and you had a bar mitzvah.
That's all required. That's true. That's all that's required.
Is there a video of that, by the way?
Of course. It was my my chubby phase.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How big were you?
I have a picture on my phone. I'll show you. Okay. It's kind of hilarious.
Tweet it up.
Not going to do that. For Dave Richard and Jamie Eisberg and all the cats out there, I'm Adam Azers.
I got to get Azers' phone somehow.
See you later.
Bye.